She is racked by internal dissension, involved in a hopeless attempt to beat and shoot the Palestinians into submission. Eastern Jerry is avoiding Israel like the plague. Israel is led by a clique of rabble-rousing demagogues, whose sole purpose is not the welfare of Israel, but is to stay in office by constantly whipping up the emotions of the Israeli people into a high state of paranoia. We ask again, why is Israel forced to rely only on itself alone? When the Israelis say that they cannot depend upon promises or guarantees for their security, they are right. When they say that they could someday be overrun by Arab enemies before the US, being 4,000 miles away, could respond, they are right. In fact, this is exactly the same argument used by the NATO countries to convince the US to deploy and maintain its military forces on the NATO frontiers. There is nothing new about Israel's security problem or the solution to it. If the US entered into a mutual defense treaty with Israel, as we have done with South Korea, under the terms of which the US would deploy ground, air and naval forces to safeguard Israel's borders, then Israel's security is no more in doubt than that of Japan, West Germany, South Korea, or other countries which the US is committed to defend, and has backed up that commitment with our armed forces already in place. If those countries have not been afraid of the Soviet Union or China or North Korea because of the US military presence on their soil, can Israel say she is afraid of a Palestinian state or any Arab nation or nations? Is the solution to Israel's security concerns, which we have just proposed, a difficult one to put into effect? Are there diplomatic or international problems which would interfere with the ability of the US to proceed immediately to implement this proposed solution to Israel's security needs? The answer is, of course, no. The US can enter into a mutual defense treaty with any nation at any time without the consent of anybody, allied or otherwise. The proposed treaty, in its essentials, is identical with the mutual defense treaty entered into with South Korea in 1953. A copy of this treaty can be found in the appendix. The consent, ratification, of the US Senate, however, is required for all treaties. Senate approval should not be difficult. Israel has many friends in the US Senate, so ratification should be quick and easy. There may be some Americans who would not support a proposal to station US troops in Israel, presumably because they might be exposed to terrorist attacks. If so, it may be the result of a failure to understand the plan as proposed. The proposal to station US military units within Israel's borders is made only in the context of a comprehensive peace plan in which the Palestinians would have their own independent state. Thus, the reason for PLO terrorism and the Intifada in the West Bank would no longer exist. The American people have consistently supported the policy of mutual defense treaties that involved American peacekeeping forces all over the world. Can it be seriously argued that it is better to wait until an uncontrolled conflagration breaks out in the Middle East, and for the US to then desperately try to save Israel with a rescue effort from thousands of miles away, rather than to establish a just peace and rely on a credible deterrent to preserve it? In a future war, there will be no victor. The great lesson of the past 40 years is that peace and security are attainable not by winning wars, but by preventing them. The most authoritative and comprehensive statement of Israel's position on its security needs is set forth in an article published in the Jerusalem Post of February 18, 1989, by the internationally prominent publisher, Robert M. Maxwell. Maxwell was a member of the steering committee for Prime Minister Shammah's Solidarity Conference held early in 1989. To demonstrate the solidarity of the Jews within and outside Israel regarding Israel's defense policies. In his article, Maxwell persuasively sets forth Israel's position with respect to its security concerns. The article is quoted below in part. I have the honor to be a member of the steering committee for Prime Minister Shammah's Conference of Leading Jews, whose purpose is to show the solidarity of the Jews who live and work outside Israel with the people of Israel and the initiative its government is taking for peace and security in the Middle East. The lessons of this century, of the Holocaust, of the history of the Jewish people, are that peace and security cannot be assured by promises, by United Nations resolutions, or by professions of good intent, whether they emanate from Washington, London, Moscow or wherever Yasser Arafat's caravan has rested. Israel requires deeds, not words. It does not need paper assurances. It needs guarantees made of steel. Since the civilized world cannot produce such guarantees, Israel must look after its own defense. In the final event, the only people the Jews can trust for their survival are the Jews themselves. Those who are intolerant of the Jewish obsession about security must understand that it is impossible for Israel's leaders to compromise with this imperative. Compromise which threatens the existence of the Jewish state is not compromise but betrayal. In the early years of Hitler, there were Jewish leaders who thought that the democracies would protect them. They were wrong. It has taken nearly 2,000 years to rebuild the state of Israel. It is the bounden duty of the Jewish people within and without the borders of Israel to ensure that never again will it be destroyed, to make certain that it will be maintained at almost any cost, because the final cost is the very existence of the Jewish people. That is the price we are not prepared to pay. We have been let down too often to trust blindly again. We cannot rely upon others for our salvation, however solemn the pledges, however sincere the intent. The road to the Holocaust was paved with good intentions on the part of Israel. Wants peace and needs peace, but peace with security. Unlike other nations, it cannot afford to lose even one single war, because that would mean instant annihilation. And four wars have been imposed on it. Cannot trust its whole existence to promises which may not be kept, which may not be intended to be kept, and, even if they were so intended, while Israel is ready to negotiate a settlement with its neighbors directly and without preconditions, it cannot accept an armed, terrorist-dominated Palestinian state adjoining it, a state, moreover, of unremitting hostility. Only waiting for its revenge, not for the events of the past year or two, but for the establishment of Israel itself. It is impossible to divorce the events of today from what has gone before. The 6 million dead are part of today's living history. I'm not advocating intransigence. What I'm saying is that we cannot betray those who died by risking the lives of those who survived and descended from them. That is the overwhelming reality of Israel today. History only repeats itself when those in command of our nations forget Israel needs peace, just as its Arab neighbors need peace. Deep down, both peoples are impatient to return to the ageless aspirations of their forefathers, to be respected for the high ethical ideals, the intellectual excellence, the ability to invent, and to create that which they have demonstrated so often and so brilliantly in the past. I believe that these aspirations are indeed within their grasp. But real peace, with real security, is the unalterable condition of this process, imposed on us by the blood-stained lessons of history, and the catastrophic experience of our own generation. Emphasis supplied, we are impressed, and greatly encouraged by the remarkable similarity between the views expressed by Maxwell in his article in the Jerusalem Post, and those presented in this chapter. Indeed, his article eloquently summarizes one of the principal theses of this book. It is the bounden duty of the Jewish people within and without the borders of Israel to ensure that never again will it be destroyed, to make certain that it will be maintained at almost any cost, because the final cost is the very existence of the Jewish people. We have repeatedly emphasized and cited the opinion of many prominent Israelis on the importance of the involvement of Jews outside Israel. Maxwell says that those who are intolerant of the Jewish obsession about security must understand that it is impossible for Israel to compromise this imperative. This is the position that has been consistently taken in this book in discussing Israel's security. We have stated clearly that Israel's security is a sine qua non, an indispensable prerequisite to any peace proposal. We have gone even further than Maxwell in urging Jews outside Israel to become involved with Israel's fate. We not only understand the Jewish obsession with security, but in company with many concerned Israelis, have stressed the point that the diaspora is not concerned enough with it, that there is too much passivity in the diaspora, which, as Evan Maxwell calls attention to the fact that the lessons of this century, of the Holocaust, of the history of the Jewish people, are that peace and security cannot be assured by promises. By United Nations.